You're about to hear a sermon from Hun Vision Church in Lawrenceville, Georgia, delivered by Joe Song from our study on the Gospel according to Matthew. Thanks for listening to Hun Vision.
All right, Matthew 20. Sorry, we're done with 19. Some of you are like, thank God. Thought that 19 would never end. Because if we kept going on to 19, we would sell everything we had. You would all have nothing. All right. But before we start in chapter 20, can we go back one verse back into 19? Because this is kind of a response to what started in chapter 19. In chapter 19, the last verse, Jesus ends that chapter with this verse. He says, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. Right? And most of you are like, what does that mean? And then Jesus then goes on to give this parable as a response to that. So in chapter 20, verse 1, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like, and then we need to stop for a second. Whenever you hear Jesus say something like that, whenever you hear Jesus saying something is like, or the kingdom of heaven is like, dot, 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 we are entering in a what? Into a parable. Yes, there we go. Yeah, Sunday school people, right? A parable. And so when we go into a parable, it's you have to start to understand it a little different. A parable, if you haven't grown up in church, is a story or an illustration that teaches, that illustrates a spiritual truth, a spiritual reality, by linking it to a physical story of things that people in that day would be familiar with. Does that make sense? So like people in that day, that audience, the Jewish first century people would be very familiar with this kind of situation. And Jesus is trying to teach them a spiritual truth by giving them a very familiar sort of story. Does that make sense? But here's the genius of the parables of Jesus. Because when Jesus speaks in a parable, it's one to teach a spiritual truth, right? But it's also to hide the truth to those who don't really want to hear it. You see, Jesus says, if you can turn to Matthew chapter 13:13, he says, when they asked him, this is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. The thing about parables is that only those who want to hear, who are seeking truly in their hearts God, only those who want God, only those who are seeking the kingdom will actually hear the truth of these parables. If you don't care, if you're here because you want God for other reasons, the truth of the parables will not be heard by you. Like, you'll hear the same thing, you'll hear the same words, but your heart will not hear the truth if you don't actually want God. That's the crazy thing about the parables. They're so simple, yet they're like this mystery. And so we're going to read this parable, but knowing that, you need to pray for open eyes and an open heart that you can actually hear the truth that God wants to hear. You have to humble yourself. You need to put down your self-righteousness and your entitlement. You need to come as a beggar before the feet of Jesus today. And you need to come looking for God, not for what God can give you. You need to not come just being like, I already know this story. I already know these parables. I already know kingdom truth. You need to put all of that pride down and come humbly before Jesus and say, Lord, I need you, and I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to change. I'm ready to listen to what you have to say to me. I'm ready to be uncomfortable, and I'm ready to repent at what you're about to reveal to me. This is how you must approach a parable of Jesus. And if you do not, if you come arrogantly, if you come just coming to get something that you already know reinforced, you will miss everything. It'll just be another cute story to you. Because the parables are not designed to just portray information. If Jesus was just trying to get information to you, he could just give you a list. But he tells you a story, because there's more he wants to tell you that's beyond information. You know, stories can do more than just convey information. They get to your emotions as well. That's why Jesus tells parables, because there's something, there's an emotional aspect to every parable, and you that can tell you something that's deeper than information, that tells you something about your heart. So even as you hear this parable, you're going to start feeling emotions if you're paying attention. You'll start to feel things. And I need you to pay attention to those feelings, because that's going to be part of what God is trying to reveal to you through this parable. You guys ready? Okay? So that's what a parable is. We're about to jump into one. So let's take 30 seconds to pray. Lord, humble my heart. I'm ready to change. Will you reveal to me what you want to say through this parable? Maybe put down my Christian pride or my self-righteousness, and I just want to come knowing that I need a change and I want to hear. Ask him for that right now. Lord, we surrender this time, this parable to you. God, it's not about what do I have to do today? What do I want to get out of this? This is what do you want, God? Speak, humble our hearts. May we be ready to change. Amen. Ready? Here we go. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You, go into the vineyard too. When whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Going again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" Some of your moms ask you this question. Verse 7, they said to him, "Because no one has hired us," he said to them. He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when they came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. But now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but to each of them also received a denarius. And receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last workers as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you begrudging my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Anybody, does this story bother anybody? This parable? Anybody, raise your hand if there's just something in you that you just don't like about this story. Anybody? Come on. Anyone feeling some tension? You don't even know why. Some of you know why. You're just like, what the heck? You're feeling this like, ugh. Like, you know, I feel I'm with you. I don't like this parable. I've never liked this parable. And as I was whacking my head against this parable all week, trying to be like, what are you saying, God? I don't like what you're saying. And I don't even know why. Right? It's like, I don't like this parable. Right? Why? Why don't we like it? Because why? Yeah, there's something inside of you that cries out. It rises up, this phrase. It's not fair, right? There's that kid inside that's like, this isn't fair. And we don't like that. Because we want things to be fair. We think that God should be fair. And this story is clearly not fair. Right? It grates against our expectations, our desires for fairness and what we think is right and just. We expect for people to get what they deserve. We want to get what we deserve, right? We expect it. We demand it until we realize that if you got what you deserved, you would be screwed. You know what I'm saying? Like, we want what we deserve until it's punishment, right? Because here's the thing. True fairness leaves no room for forgiveness, right? It's eye for an eye. But the kingdom, the point of this is that the kingdom doesn't operate on fairness. It operates on mercy, on grace. It's about getting what we did not earn, right? That's what this is all about. But there's something in our hearts, that feeling that doesn't like that, because we are not operating out of grace. That's why we have a hard time receiving the grace of God. And that's why you and I have such a hard time giving grace of God to others. Because if you are bothered by this story, you are still operating out of merit. You're not operating out of the gospel. Right? And I didn't like it either. And suddenly I realized this is what this is about. So let's jump in. Let's dive into this real quick. Let's go back to the first verse. What about the kingdom is this reveal? I mean, it's talking about that, but let's dive into it. Verse 1, the kingdom is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire his laborers for his vineyard. Number 1, okay, who's the master in this story? Obviously, the master is God. Right? In the parables, like, there's usually a figure, right? Oftentimes it's like, okay, who's God? Who are we? We're always looking for, like, what, you know, the pieces are. Well, in the first century, for the Jewish people who Matthew was written towards, this was very obviously the master is God. Because even in the Old Testament, oftentimes God, they talked about God owning a vineyard, and that vineyard was like his people or the nation of Israel. And so oftentimes, especially in Isaiah, it refers to God as the owner of a vineyard. So when Jesus is like, all right, let me tell you a parable. There was a master who owned a vineyard. And instantly, the Jewish audience would have no question. Okay, that's God. Vineyard, we get it. All right, this is God. There's no question about this. And then, so there's God. There he is. And he is like someone who is looking to hire laborers in his vineyard. Now, laborers in that day, this is what they would be. These are men who have no work, because if they had a profession, they would not be waiting around looking to get hired. Because if they were a fisherman, they would have a trade, so they would be fishing. If they were a carpenter, they would be like, you know, carpentering, right? If they were, you know, they would have a trade. So these men had no craft. They didn't have a profession. And they also were not servants to a master. Because if you were a servant and you had a master, you wouldn't be standing around. You would be living in the house of your master, and you would have something to do all the time. Even if you were a slave, you would have something to do, because you would be living under the house of the master, and the master would be providing for you. These are laborers who didn't have any of that. They didn't have any job security. They didn't have a specific skill or profession, and they didn't even have a master over them. Every day, they would have to get up, and they would not know how they would provide for their families that day. And they were at the mercy. They would wake up at the crack of dawn, going to the marketplace, hoping, praying that someone would come by to give them work to do, so that they can go home and pay and feed their families. They were absolutely dependent on someone else coming and giving them a job for a fair price that day. Can you imagine? That's a rough feeling. That's what a laborer is. Every day you don't know where or if you're going to get paid, or if you're going to be able to provide for your family that day. It's a desperate sort of position. It's a hard place to be. That's a laborer. And that, so that there's these guys, these laborers. And then comes this master who sees them at the beginning of the day. And the beginning of the Jewish day starts at sunrise, 6 in the morning. That's first hour. And he comes and he sees these guys, and he offers them a denarius. A full day's work. Now, a denarius is what a Roman soldier was paid every single day, right? And they would hope, you would hope that that's what you can get that day. That's only if you worked a full day. So that means from the very beginning, you needed to get hired in order to be able to get a full denarius so that their family can eat tonight. There was actually a law in the Old Testament that says that masters, you had to pay your workers every day because literally that's what they, you couldn't be like, I'll pay you at the end of the week. They couldn't do that in the Old Testament because literally they had to take that money and feed their families right away. This was whether your kids were going to eat or not. And so think about the desperation on every morning waking up like this, right? And then verse 2, the master comes up and after agreeing the laborers for denarius, he sent them into his vineyard. Right? Like, how excited would you be if you were one of these guys? Like, dude, like, how lucky are we? Like, the first hour, we got a job. Right? We're going to get a whole day's. We're going to go home and our family's going to eat tonight. So, like, how grateful would you be? See, some of you don't know because you've never had a look for work before, right? Like, some of you younger ones, like, don't know that feeling. But how many of you have been in a position where you're looking, you need to look for a job? Raise your hand, right? Like, bro, you looking for a job, right? We know what that feels like, a lot of us. It, like, you're looking not just for a job, but something to do with your life, you know? How desperate is that feeling when you're looking for work? Especially when you don't have one, right? I remember being in a position where I didn't have work. And like, you feel so, like, your worth feels so low when you're looking for work, right? Like, I remember when I was in between jobs, between my last church and this one, and we didn't really know what we were going to do in life. And I was like, I had to, like, get a job, like a real job, right? Like, not church job, but like job. And so I'm like, how does one find one of these, right? I've literally just done ministry my whole life. And so here I am, educated. I have a master's degree. I have like years of work experience in the church doing all sorts of things. And now I'm trying to just get a job at like Starbucks. And I feel like I'm so small because I'm like trying to put things on my resume. It's just church, master's in church, you know, like, and then I go and I'm like, yo, here you go. I'm like valuable. I can do all this stuff. I've done all these things. And they looked at me and they're just like, sorry, you just don't have the right experience for us. You don't have enough, you know, qualifications for this job. And I'm like, I'm looking at the guy, the manager. I'm like, bro, like, I've been to school longer than you, you know, like, I'm older than you. I've literally worked more than you. And like, you're telling me I'm not qualified to work under you. Like, I'm like losing my mind. And I feel so worthless, so like little right now. That's what it feels like to not have work, to be searching for a job. It's a desperate place to be. And students, you don't know, but you are desperate for a job too. Because why do you think you're studying so hard? Right? Getting an amazing grade isn't the goal, is it? No, the grade is so that you can get to what? A good school. But the school isn't the goal because even if you get to a good school, it doesn't mean anything unless you graduate from that good school with a degree, right? But that degree literally means nothing if you don't what with that degree? Get a job, right? Who cares if you have 7 PhDs and went to the greatest schools if you can't get employed, right? What was all of that for? It was a waste of time. Degrees in and of itself, grades in and of itself, it's all leading towards what? Work, meaningful work, a job, a career. We are all looking for something to do in life. There's something in us that drives us to look for meaningful work. But here's the thing. Let me just spoil the ending for you. Or hoping in a career. You seek your whole life desperately looking for work for a job and a career. And so you get so excited that you got into college. You're like, yeah, the acceptance letter came in. I got into college, right? And then you finally, you graduate and you're like, yeah, I made it. I graduated. I have the degree. And then what? Then you finally go and interview. And then guess what? That acceptance letter of the job comes in. You're like, yeah, I got the job. And you're like, I did it. Everything I worked for my entire life. I finally have a job. I'm somebody. And then you know what? Monday comes around and now it's just work. Monday. And you just try. Now suddenly this thing that you've been chasing and you thought was your whole life just becomes Monday freaking morning. And you're just trying to get through it now. You're not alive. You're just trying to get through. And now you're just living for not work. You're living for when work will end. You're like, yes, Friday. Friday's here so I could stop working. The thing you've been working for, living for, trying to achieve, when you finally get it, you realize it's not life. In fact, it just becomes the grind. And it almost feels like it's the opposite of life. It feels like it's just this burden that you're trying to survive through. You see, there is something deep in us. God designed us for work, for meaningful work. He made us to work, but it's not the work of this world. Because those of you guys who have careers and got the jobs and made the money, you know that at the end, it's not the thing. There's something deeper that you long for that's beyond all those things. And that is the work that God is calling for us. He made us for that work. And here's the good news this morning. God is a master hiring laborers for his vineyard. God is looking for workers today. The now hiring sign is up. And he's looking not for us to make money, but for workers to save souls. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus said, this is the first thing he said to his followers. Follow me and I will make you what? Singers of songs. That's what we think. If we follow Jesus, we're going to sing songs. Follow me and I will make you makers of money. Follow me and I will make you nice people. No, he says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. That's what followers of Jesus do. We are, once we follow Christ, we are immediately hired to do the work of the kingdom, which is to save the souls of the lost. Jesus said in Matthew 9, chapter 9, verse 37, he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Guys, we were made to work. We are called to work in the kingdom of God, but it's not earthly careers. It's a heavenly call. Christ gives you a job, you know? He invites us, he hires us into his salvation work. Jesus came to work. And you know what his work was? Is to save the world. And then, you know what he did? He decided to share his mission, his work with us. He gave us his mission. That's why it's called the Great Commission. It's a commission. He brought us into it so that we can join his work. Don't we all long to spend our lives doing something that matters? Yeah, we do. There is a higher call, and it's to love people with the love of God. It's to bring the gospel into the lives of those around us. It's more than money, more than comfort, more than security, and it's more than success. It's not about changing the world in worldly ways or about inventing things that are going to change people's lives in superficial ways. We think that if we just can accomplish things and change stuff, that it's going to make you feel things and people are going to remember you. No, they're not. Who invented the TV? Does anybody know? We all have one in our house. I don't know. You don't know. You think if you just do one big thing, like everyone is going to like remember you, like, and you're going to change everyone's life. You think that's meaningful? What's meaningful is bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love of God into the lives of the people God has placed around you. Earthly career will leave you wanting. It isn't the goal. The work of the kingdom is we are made to work in his vineyard and he is calling you. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have been called to become a fisher of men. Are you working? you working in his vineyard. In verse 3, it says, and going out into the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And then he said, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I'll give you. And then they went. And then going out again, the sixth hour, and again the ninth, he did the same. And then the 11th hour. So like, he went and he gave these guys a job. And then he goes out 3 hours later from at the third hour. What's the third hour? If 6 o'clock is the first hour, what's the third hour? 9, right? And he sees other people standing idle. He says, come. And then at the sixth hour, 12. And then at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock. And then the 11th, what's the 11th hour? Yeah, 5. This is okay. This is a little bit more awake than the first group. Right? At 5 o'clock, can you imagine if you were those 5 o'clock people? You got up and all day you were standing there in the marketplace like hoping, please someone hire me. Please someone hire me. Please someone hire me. Right? And all day, nothing. Nothing. People just walk by, or like they come and they hire the person next to you, and then the person next to you, and you are the last to be chosen. Anyone would ever be the last to be chosen is not a good feeling, right? Because now the whole time you're not getting picked. What are you thinking? You're like, am I not worthy? What's wrong with me? Why did he pick her? Why not me? Like, what does she have that I don't? Like, you know, like, you know, what the heck? Like, the time's going, the day is about to end. This is 5 o'clock. The last hour before the day is over. You're done. No one's going to hire me. And there's probably a reason why no one hired you. Why you were not picked. Maybe you weren't very desirable. Maybe you didn't look very strong. I don't know. There's something. But they felt absolutely hopeless. And the master comes and says, why have you been standing idle all day? And honestly, their cry is like, if someone hired us, I would have went. But no one hired me. No one gave me a chance. Everyone passed me by. And now the day is over. I'm not feeding my family today. The chance to get a full day's wages was left a long time ago. Even if I got hired at 12 o'clock, at least I would have been able to get a half day's wages and be able to feed them a little bit. At least if I got hired a few hours ago, maybe I would have been able to get a quarter day's wages and be able to get them a bite to eat. But it's done now. The day is over. And the master looks at the one and says, go to my vineyard. I will hire you. The day's not over yet. And they're like, what? Why would anyone hire us now? The day is over. And he says, get to my vineyard. How would you feel if you were this 11th hour person? I don't know about you, but I would be like, are you serious? He said, why are you still standing here? I'm like, okay, we're going. And I would sprint. I would sprint to the vineyard. And I would get there. And I would stumble into the vineyard. And now it's like, now there's not an hour left. There's 45 minutes left because it took you 15 minutes to get to the vineyard, right? And you stumble in. And now you're looking at the vineyard. And you're like, oh, okay, I got 45 minutes left. How would you work if you were this guy? I don't know. I would work with everything I had with the last hour of this day. I'd be grabbing the grapes and I'll be ripping them off the stuff and I'll be shoving them into the bag or whatever it is that they did back then to work in the grape harvest. And like, I'll be like, let's go. Come on. We got an hour left. Everything I got. And then like those guys who were there from hour one would be staring at these fools who stumbled in at the last hour and be like, are you serious right now? Like they're like messing up the system we spent all day creating. Right? Because like they like spent all day trying to figure out the right way to do it. And you're all over here frantically hair messed up with like grapes all over your face, like trying to fill your bag. And you're like, hurry, we better hurry. He gave us a chance. We got to work. We only got 1 hour to prove this thing. And then you're just going after because you are just so thankful that you got a job. Right? You know, the more and then it's all over, and then that 45 minutes is up, and you're standing there with a bunch of grapes in your hand, and then the master shows back up and he's looking at you, and then he says, all right, day's over, everyone come, and he lines you up, and then he starts from the very first to the last, and he starts to pay them what they are, what is right. And to the absolute shock of the guy who worked for 45 minutes, he gives them an entire day's wages. He did not work for this. He did not deserve this. But he got a full day's wages. His family's going to eat tonight. And he didn't even work for it. And then the next person gets a full day's wages. Then the next person, full day's wages. Next person gets a full day's wages. Everyone gets the full. None of them deserved it. And then we get to the first hour people. And now they're expecting more. And then they are given a full day's wages. And now they're upset. How did they feel when they first got the job on hour one? They were like, we are so lucky that the master chose us to go work in his vineyard. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, thank you so much that we could work for you. We literally were at your mercy. You didn't have to hire us, but you did. We had no skill. We had no reason for you, but you hired us first. Thank you. And you're giving us a full day's wages. Thank you. You're giving meaning to our day. Thank you. And you were so thankful that you got to work for the master, that you got a job. And now it's at the end of the day and he gave you what he promised. And now why are you upset? You're upset because the master is so generous. He's too generous. What? The master isn't just fair, but he's more than fair. He's beyond fair. The kingdom of God isn't just fair. It's better than fair. To the point that it might get people upset of how generous God is. Why do they all get the same? Because it's not about how much they worked. It's about the generosity of the master. They were given a full day's wages because the master decided to give it to them. The kingdom, no one earns it. No one deserves it. We are all the 11th hour sinners, guys. We are the 11th hour. When you read this, who do you identify with? I bet most of you identified yourself with the first hour. But the more and more I read this, I realize we're not the first hour people. We're the 11th hour. Do you realize that this parable is only written in the book of Matthew? All the other gospels don't have it. And the book of Matthew is unique because it is specifically written to the Jewish, to a Jewish audience. Why would a Jewish audience specifically be given this parable? Because the Jews were the first workers. They were the first chosen people of God. They were given the law, the Torah. They went through Egypt and the Red Sea, and they went through the wilderness, and they went through all of the Old Testament hanging on to God, and they went through the ups and the downs, and they went through all of these things, and they're still there. They were the people of God, first chosen. And after all of that, some of them still held on to their faith, still working for God, still trying, waiting for the Messiah to come. And then he finally has arrived. And at the very last hour, suddenly Jesus comes and he allows all these non-Jewish, Gentile, Asian people into his kingdom who weren't there for all of the Old Testament, who literally just showed up at the end. And he's going to give them full salvation, full heir and son and daughtership into the kingdom of God. Guys, we're the 11th hour people. We need to start living lives with that 11th hour attitude of not, God, this is it, to God, I cannot believe you let me in. You know, the Apostle Paul, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, the guy who literally shared the gospel with the entire known Roman world, who probably did more for the gospel than Jesus himself, the guy who worked harder for the kingdom of God than anyone else, you know how he looked at himself? Every time you look in his epistles, when he talks about himself, he says, I am the worst of sinners. I am the least deserving apostle. I was one unnaturally born. I don't deserve any of this, but by the grace of God, he allowed me and called me to work. It is such an honor that I could give all that I have and to work for the rest of the remaining days of my life for the kingdom of God. I don't deserve this, but he called me to work for him. What an honor it is. If there's anyone who should think that they're the first hour person, I think it's Paul. But he, when he looks at himself, he knows the reality of his status. He's an 11th hour worker, just like you and me. And we've been called into his vineyard to work for his kingdom. What's your response today? It's not about how much you worked, how many hours you worked for the kingdom, but it's about, will you say yes? You know what the one thing that was the same for all of these workers was? When that the master came to hire them and he said, go to my vineyard and work, every single one of them, when the master came, said immediately yes, and they went and they worked. It didn't matter how much they worked, it just mattered that they said yes and they did it. You guys catch what I'm saying? It's not about how much you do for the kingdom. It's just that you go and you obey when he comes. Some of us, you hear this parable the way I used to, like a weasel. I know, because I am that weasel. When I heard this parable growing up, I'd be like, wait a minute. So let me do some calculations in my head. If you're saying, Jesus, that I only have to work 1 hour and then I get the same as the guy who worked 12 hours, now I'm trying to weasel my way out, trying to figure out how can I just work 1 hour to get the 12 hours of things. I'm trying to work out like, all right, God, now, because I'm smarter than you, I'm going to figure out the system. That means I, even if I start obeying God now or if I start obeying God at the very last hour of my life, I still can get it to heaven? Then what the heck? Why am I going to be one of these suckers that starts right now? I'm just going to, you know, live my life doing me, doing the stuff I want, doing whatever I feel. And then way at the very end, when the doctor's like, you got cancer, then I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to be like, Jesus, take the wheel, right? Like right there. I'm like, God, I suddenly love you, right? In the last hour of my life, I'm just gonna know. On my deathbed, I'm gonna be like, be the Lord of my life. Take everything, God. Do you first of all, like, who do you think you are? Right? And then second of all, who do you think God is? Like, do you think he's dumb? I think we think God is really dumb. We think that like you can live your whole life doing, being the Lord of your own life, doing whatever you want, and then at the very end being like, just kidding, God, you're the Lord. You think God's gonna be like, oh, you said the words. I guess you're in. Guys, this is a relationship. Like if a guy came up to you and was like, girl, I wanna marry you, but first, wait, let me go and get with all the other girls first that I want. There's a bunch of other girls I like, and like after I get with each of them, then I will marry you. What if that was your proposal? What would you say, ladies? You would be like, away from me, evildoer. I never knew you, right? That's what you would say. You say, behind me, Satan, right? Because it's just great. Or if a girl said that to you guys, same thing, flip it around. It's like I love you and I want you to be my husband, but let me get with all the other guys first. It would be like, what? No, like that's just... It doesn't work like that. But that's what we're saying when we're like, yeah, I'm just going to do me first. I'm going to do all my stuff first. And then I will work and live for the kingdom of God last hour. As if you can even control that. You don't even know when your last hour is going to be. You guys have, a lot of you even have friends your age that have already passed away. You think they knew? Like this week, I was going to the gym at 5 in the morning. There's no cars out in the morning then. Okay. 5:30. All right. Just God knows the truth. I'm about to pull out of my neighborhood, and I almost get hit by a car because it just came out of nowhere. I was just going to leave the house to go work out real quick before my family woke up. I wasn't planning to almost die that day. I was just planning to work out and come back and keep going with my day. And I could have just, and I was like scared. And then I decided to never go out that way for the rest of the week. I went a different way, the longer way, because like I started getting freaked out. We don't know when our 11th hour is going to be. You think you can plan and out-scheme God, being like, well, you know, God, just give me a couple more days. Wait until I'm done with high school. Then I will go and start working for your kingdom. Wait until I'm done with college, and then I'll start working. Wait until I get my job first, God. Right now, I'm looking for a job. It's busy. I need to get the job, get my stability. Then I will start witnessing. Then I'll start making disciples. Then I'll start loving people. Then I'll actually start doing what you call me to do. Okay, God, right now, I'm pregnant. Once that baby comes out, then, you know, and then I'll start. And then it's like, you know, it just goes on and on and on and on. And we're just like, later, 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 later. There are literally times where Jesus, there were a guy who came up to Jesus and was like, Jesus, I think you're awesome. Let me follow you. But first, let me go and bury my father first. You know what Jesus said to him? He didn't say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Go and do that. Do your thing first, and then I'll be waiting for you. Come when you're ready. He didn't say that. He said, you are not fit to follow. When another guy came up and said, Jesus, you're awesome. I want to be a disciple, but let me go say bye to my mom and dad first. And Jesus is like, He didn't say like, oh, yeah, good job. Go and do your thing first. You're busy? Go and do that first. He says, you're not fit to follow. If you are a Christian, you have been called to be a fisher of men. You have already, you're like, when's Jesus going to call me? He called you already. It was Matthew 28 when he said, go and make disciples of all nations. We've been commissioned. If you've ever gotten a job and the job offer comes in the mail and then you call them up and you're like, thanks for the job offer, but I'm just not ready to take it. I have a couple other jobs I want to look into first. What would that company say? Would they be like, oh, okay. Like, we're just going to put everything on hold and we'll just wait for you to get back to us and we're just going to hold your job for you. No, they'll be like, thank you. We're moving on to the next applicant. Because we have a bunch of applicants waiting. Does that make sense? That doesn't work for jobs. You think it works for God? And we tell God, you hold on. God's like, no, if the master came up to the idle workers and was like, come, work in my vineyard. And the guy's like, just you hold on a second. I got some stuff to do. Master would be like, okay, I'm going to move on. Guys, we've been called. I know we're running late. And the call is right now. If you're a Christian, you've been called. Are you working in his vineyard? Or are you just working in your own vineyard? Or you're the vineyard of your parents' expectations? Or the vineyard of this world or whatever? But if you're not working for the kingdom, then you're not working for the kingdom. And when the time comes, like, it'll be too late. Today might be the ninth, might be the 11th hour. For some of us. Some of you are waiting for next week. You're like, this week, not a good week, Jesus. Kind of busy. This might be your 11th hour. I don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm just saying it's a reality. Right? The world is shocked that like Kobe Bryant died. And it's crazy. We just don't expect it to happen. But 11th hour is not up to us. I need you to look at your life. Look at your day-to-day. Are you working for the kingdom of God? Or are you still just working for yourself? For your own life and for your own stuff and for your own goals? God isn't fooled. And for some of you, today is the day of salvation. He is calling you. He's inviting you into his kingdom. He's saying, come and work in my vineyard. And you're like, but God, I don't deserve it. He's like, none of these fools do. Okay, he didn't say that. He loves us. But he's calling us out of his love into his work, into his kingdom. Let's receive the call today. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to the Hum Vision podcast. We hope you are blessed. Join us next week on Han Vision.